Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. So weekly, as you're tuning in, I hope that between my guests and myself, the tips, strategies, tools, ideas, and all of the things that we share help you move your needle in regards to change and whatever that change is that you're navigating in your personal life or professional life. Hopefully 2020, we're growing our business and hopefully we're connecting with more clients, right? So change is change. We hope you're dealing well with it. And my guests and I really are here for you. Also, if you are loving the show, a big ask, if you can go and rate the show, do a review. If you watch on YouTube, if you could subscribe and if you can leave a review, that's awesome. And believe it or not, I read all the comments. I love comments. And I read the especially when you're sharing the love with me. I so appreciate that. It keeps me going, guys. And if there's a topic that you want my guests and I to cover, please throw that out there. I will do my very best to find a resource and a guest to come on and help us discuss that. So it's your show. It's not my show. And I want to make sure I support you out there. So as we usually start, my motivational quote today is by Socrates. And he says, "The secret of change is to focus all of your energy, not on fighting the old, but on building the new." So what has changed for you guys this year? You know, most people have experienced some form of change, some small, some huge, depending on where you fell with the whole COVID situation. And humans, we were all affected, right? So what do we do now? Well, I'm curious to hear how you've navigated the changes in your life for this past year. And did you see a ton of opportunity, or did you experience or feel like you've only experienced loss? So please share your feedback in the comments section on YouTube again, or through the website, WhitmanAssociates.com. I really do want to hear from you because this has been one tough year. So today I have an amazing guest. She's back for the second time. My wonderful friend, Natasha Turdovic-Cohen. I think I said that right. And she and I are going to explore change and provide some tools and strategies to help you control changes that are occurring in your life. And whether it's the resistance to change yourself, if you're at work, cultural changes or changes in conflict or dysfunctional teams that maybe you're working in your working environment, Natasha's expertise includes unraveling people's messes from C-suites to the shop floor. Rooted in 70 years of research and application, Natasha has more than 25 years of experience applying spiral dynamics, tools and programs to reveal root causes of people problems to organizations. With clients on five continents, she's the world's leading expert in this approach and helps leaders, teams, and organizations achieve their visions. Please help me welcome my wonderful, amazing friend, Natasha, to the show. So thanks so much for being on again, Natasha, because this is important stuff we're talking about.
Connie, I am so delighted and so excited to be with you today. It's just a treat and a pleasure.
Back at you, right? We haven't seen each other in quite a time. And so we're both excited to dive into the topic and just share. And before Natasha and I started, you know, she's out in California between the fires and COVID, and it's been one hell of a year for everybody across the nation, but really across the world. So tell us, what has life been like over the past few months with COVID for you, your business, your family, your clients, all of those kinds of things?
Well, and how many days do we have?
Right? No kidding.
Well, you know, Connie, COVID really has been a test of our resilience and our ability to grapple both with a lack of change and with change. Mm. You know, I think I was mentioning to you earlier, I'm getting a little stir crazy. I have been so busy over these last number of months. I've talked to more people. I've done more things. I've built more stuff out. Mm. But it's been in the virtual space, and I'm really missing, like, real human beings in three-dimensional space, you know, with hugs and the vibe that you get when you're exchanging emotion and brain cells and ideas, and, you kind of lock into one another's minds, and you've got this deeper connection. So I'm really missing that. And the days are kind of like, well, you wake up and then you, you know, go to the bathroom and then you go to the office and then you go back to the kitchen and then you wander around. But it's like really being trapped in this repetitive sort of a space.
Yeah.
And I'm missing the travel. I am missing the people. I am missing more of a lived experience. And we're in a county that is just lifting some of those restrictions. I mean, I haven't had my hair done since March. So actually February.
And you look wonderful.
I love you.
You really do look wonderful. You make it look easy, let me tell you, kiddo. You know, it's funny because, you know, in Jersey, we've been, I think because we peaked so early, because we have a very big population between New York, New Jersey, and the commuting into Manhattan. So we have been able to go out, you know, like even the restaurants now entering that the winter months, you know, fall into winter, we're at 25% inside. Meanwhile, they've been doing all the outside dining for, you know, through the summer. So we're pretty lucky. But it's funny how you said, You've built more, you've done more, you've talked to more people. I just was talking to somebody before and I said, I'm on Zoom calls from the minute I hit my office until sometimes I've been doing these group challenges and stuff, and they're 3 days, right? 11 hours, 3 days in a row over the weekend, like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Well, I've done multiples of them. So on any given week, I could be on Zoom 60, 70 hours, no joke, plus training my client, right? You know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm fitting much more in because I'm like, oh, I don't have to travel. Oh, I could squeeze that in. But then you're forgetting to eat, right? You're forgetting to schedule bathroom breaks and all these other things. So it's been a weird, weird year.
Connie, when you're on Zoom, do you get that kind of effect where it's like you've been on too long and then you're kind of like vibrating, your body's vibrating, and it's like your eyeballs are vibrating and you're like, whoa, and it's like, what is this thing you're doing to me?
Yeah, somebody recently I saw in an event I was at last week, you know, it was all Zoom, they had like, they look like sunglasses, but they had filters for the Zoom because we're in front of the screen so much. And I said to my husband, I haven't gotten headaches yet. I said, but, you know, I want to be healthy with my eyes. So I said, I have to buy, you know, one of those filters because I'm just on it too much. And there's the problem is, though, we're not scheduling downtime. It's right. Are you feeling that this lack of balance? It's just weird.
Yeah, I don't know if it's lack of balance. I think it's just a consequence of, you know, one of the things we're doing is we're kind of focusing in. And we were meant to be walking in peripheral vision. And when you're staring at a monitor and a screen, you're narrowing. And what that does to your body is it puts you into fight or flight. And I've already got a blue screen on my screen.
Oh, that's
but
great.
It doesn't seem to really do what it needs to do. Particularly, I mean, I'm with you. I'm on like sometimes 12, 14 hours a day. And the other day I had a call and was like, do you think we could do this by phone? Do we have to do this by Zoom?
Isn't that funny? Yeah. We don't want to Zoom. In the beginning, everybody wanted to Zoom because we still had that human connection, right? It gets tiresome. It really does. What in your world, what transformations have been happening for a little bit for you, but really for your people? How have you been guiding them? Because everybody is affected in some way, right?
Yeah, I think the biggest things that we've been tackling have been the way people are, A, relating to themselves. So they're trying, I think this has been a really good time for those who have the luxury of doing this, of getting into better relationship with self. Mm. So looking at, you know, what are the emotions I am feeling? You know, what is this feeling actually about? Mm. And rather than, you know, thinking and then feeling something about your thinking, I'm trying to get my audience to think more about the feeling and understand what that feeling is saying about their needs, their desires, their internal state and start building language for that. And that helps to build resilience. And then the other one is a lot of people are really trying to negotiate relationships differently. So I call it the invisible space in between, because you've got the one human and then you've got the other human. And each human has their own stuff going on. But then there's something that two humans, even three humans, create as a system, a relationship system between them. So I'm trying to get my clients to kind of focus on that more liminal space, on how they are shaping that space between them and how they are creating kind of a beingness that is greater than just the two of them, or three of them, or five of them,
yeah,
or 10 of them.
That's so fascinating, because my one son graduated. He's home. My other son, University of Delaware, they did... He's off campus, so we paid for the apartment. So, and his girlfriend's down there. So, you know, I get it. You want to do the, it's virtual, whatever. You know, we're paying for it. Go ahead. And he's a good kid. But my big guy is home, the 24-year-old. And he sees how much my husband and I are working, because it's not just, you know, 5 o'clock, shut it down, because we have so many things going on. So he's been saying, I'm going to cook. I'm going to help you guys out. I'm going to start cooking. And when he said that, my husband and I were like, who are you? What have you done with our son? But it was the cutest thing. And he said, you know, you guys are just running. And he said, I don't mind cooking. And because he doesn't have a job yet, he graduated, but, you know, COVID hit. He was interviewing and then COVID hit. So he's been working for my cousin, who's a chef at his restaurant, deli, you know, slash. So he's been helping him out. And so he's been seeing all of this cooking. He's getting ideas. So he's been inspired. And he said that, he goes, I'm going to start cooking more. It was like, what? This wonderful, because he's appreciating how hard we're working, and on his own, Natasha, on his own, how can I help the family unit, the three of us? So that's fascinating that you said that, because I didn't even think of it. It was just, what a good kid he is. You know, that was mom thinking, what a good kid he is. That was so thoughtful, because he does see us working so hard, right? Yeah.
He's giving you love. Yeah. That's awesome. And, you know, I think that's what people are trying to do now, is think about how they contribute differently.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about a lot about how, you know, people have been coming up with these fake N95 masks, right? You know, you have all of those people who are going to take advantage of tragedy.
Yeah.
Right? And at the same time, then you've got that amazing, you know, creativity in giving of one's gifts, of giving of one's contributions, of giving of heart and mind and all of that. And you've got all of that mixed up in this really strange mess.
It's true. Have you seen, like in your world with your clients, are they better after this period? Or like, what life changes have you been seeing, that maybe some drastic, maybe some not so much? I don't know.
I'm not seeing them shifting a whole lot.
Yeah.
So a lot of my clients are in Europe. I think they're a bit more contemplative. I think they're taking a bit more of a pause. Mm. And I think there are a few who are just in a little bit more of a rush, because they're, you know, I mean, we've seen what this can do. You know, and as people have lost other people, they're already thinking about their mortality and how they want to contribute and whether they're doing what they want to do. And a lot of people are having kind of that soul reckoning. Am I on purpose with what I'm here for?
Yeah.
And how long am I going to put up with this when I'm here for something different? So I think it's a really great opportunity that some people are taking to make shifts. And I hear a lot of people going, and I'm pivoting, and I'm pivoting. And I hate the term pivoting, because what it's meant, from what I've seen, is people kind of spinning around, not knowing where to go, reaching out in multiple directions, trying a bunch of things, but it's so clouded they can't make a choice.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you said that. I pivoted. I shifted with COVID. And I really dug in and I got my book published in July. It hit, you know, international, number one bestseller internationally in 20 categories. I know it was really awesome. And then got picked up by Fox and NBC and ABC and a couple of the media where they, you know, they spotlight you and they kind of quote. So that was kind of like one of those, you know, mind blowing, you know, you don't see yourself that way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, okay, so what you did was you took the time to do something that was true to your heart,
yeah,
that was on the back burner,
totally,
and now made it to the front burner.
Totally.
And it's part of your purpose and your passion,
totally.
And then you had these consequences come as a result that you weren't expecting. But I'm talking about the kind of spinning in place going, what do I do? How do I take advantage of an opportunity,
yeah,
and I'm scared? And I'm not in touch with my core, with my source, with my mission, with my purpose in the world. You know, you did it from a space of freeing up time so you could do your mission, your vision,
absolutely,
your purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Yeah,
you were
that's
on
true.
Purpose.
That's true.
Yeah.
It was on purpose. But it's just funny because, you know, with the book, I have the podcast, I have all of these, I'm creating a whole division within my business. So I have my live stuff with my corporate clients. And now I'm shifting over to creating a digital platform to make it more affordable for the smaller businesses, not those big corporate clients. So all of that shifting. But I have to tell you, I had to hire a business coach because I felt like, Natasha, I had all of the pieces of the puzzle. I didn't have the direction on how to pull it all together so they're all connected from a branding, because that, you know, marketing and sales are two very different things. I am not marketing. And he's the gentleman, I shout out to Michael Neely. He's out your way in California.
Oh my gosh, I love
Do you
Michael.
Know Michael?
Oh,
love him.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's amazing. But he's got the four pillars of authority and how to bring them together so that the money flow is in all four areas. And I'm missing that piece. So, you know, this is, and I want you to talk about spiral dynamics, because me as a business owner, right, and as a coach, I'm a coach. I needed a coach because you can't see everything. And as the owner of the business, you know, or as the leader in your organization, it's hard to see the forest from the trees. So, you know, yeah, we need people like you and Michael and, you know, to help us stop spinning. So it's so funny because spiral dynamics, change readiness in index. I want you to teach everybody, what is it and what does it do to help with that grounding? And because people fight change, right? So your tools and transformational stuff helps with all of that. Can you talk a little bit about that for everybody?
Yeah. So our Spiral Dynamics Change Readiness Index helps coaches, consultants, business leaders to accelerate the individual or the team that is becoming. So it looks at the emergence of what's happening for a particular individual, and rather than get lost in tools and tactics and strategies and approaches that don't fit,
yep,
you're, as a coach, able to more congruently coach your clients. As a business leader, if you've got a team, you know, it might be a team of five, it might be a team of 15 or 50 or 500. If you understand where people are going to dig their heels in, when they're going to get excited, how flexible they are, how resilient they are, how absorbable they are to change, right? I mean, you know, if you're using a dry sponge, it's going to take a lot more water than using a moist sponge, right? It absorbs more and it absorbs more quickly. If you're able to understand that about the people that you're working with and about yourself, then it's an accelerant for that transformation. And the pain happens when we're resisting change.
Yeah.
It happens when we're resisting ourselves, when we're resisting our world, and when we're not on purpose, and when we're using strategies and tools that aren't aligned with who we are or who our team is, or, you know, the culture of our organization. So this helps to dial that in.
Can you share some of the pain points? I hate that terminology, pain point, but what are some of the aha as you speak about it, people go, she's describing my organization. She's describing my team. What are some of those like moments where people listening can say, wait a minute, I think she's talking to me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
All right. So we were part of a trust initiative for a large government institution where we used this data and collected it and then started looking at what some of the challenges were. And what the challenges were was this particular group was very resistant. They'd been doing things the same way for 40 years. They didn't want it to change. Upper level, we'll call it management, wanted things to change, but upper level management had more of a super out of the box way of thinking, right? They were like, we're going to go this way, and it's going to go fast, and it's going to be cool. And then the people who were the target of change were saying, look, we know what we're doing. We know how it's done. It's been done like this for 40, 50 years. Don't mess with us. And when we started looking at their approaches, and I'll give you an example. We had our data. And this was pre-COVID, and we brought multiple departments in that were in conflict, and we lined them up according to the data. So on one wall was everybody who wanted a teeny tiny little bitty change, you know, do it step by step and slow and don't rush it, and we've got to take care of the processes and everything. And then across the room from them were the people who liked it in big bites and big chunks and just go all in. And then at the back of the room, we had people who had kind of an interesting mix of both. And then we said to the guys on the one side of the room who liked it in tiny bite-sized pieces, well, what do you think of those guys across the room? And they were hesitant, and they didn't really want to say, and they were squirming a little bit, and they were uncomfortable, and we really had to nudge it out of them. And they said, look, we've got processes. They're there for a reason. They're there for a purpose. Whenever those guys come in, they upset the apple cart. They mess things up. They're screwing around with us. We really don't like it. Right? Then we ask the guys on the other side of the room, and they're not holding back, right? They're just jumping in. They're like, they are stick in the mud. They don't let us do anything. We can't be creative. We've got these great ideas. We're trying to serve our customers. They're always getting in the way, right? And it's like just going back and forth. And the guys at the back of the room are like, oh, whoa, now I totally understand these dynamics.
Yeah.
Because if you take research and a frame and data and lived experience and then mirror that back to an individual or a group or a department or multiple departments, then people get this kind of like, oh my gosh, that's what that means. And then you're a choice. You can course correct. It's not personal. It's not about that person being out to get you or mess you with your world. We're just wired differently, and in those differences, we can pull ourselves together like pieces of a puzzle that make a greater whole than if we didn't figure out that we actually have fit.
Yeah, and it's so funny because in my mind, I'm like operations, compliance, and the innovators, the sales, right? The growth.
It was front office, back office, exactly.
Funny as anything.
Totally. Run office, back office.
They're different personalities, so they're going to see the world right from their filter, their perspective. And you made me laugh because in my marriage, right, I am, let's go, baby, move it on, innovative, let's try it. What if you got to lose? What if it doesn't work? No big deal. You know, if you don't try it, you're going to look back and say, you should have done it, right? Should, would, could have. And my husband's like, can we do a little research? I'm like, I don't want to do research. I think we need to do research. Let's save time and money and not make a mistake. But you know, we're married almost 29 years, and I giggle because he knows when I'm pushing him that he needs it. And I know when I'm the Macy's Day balloon, you know, here on the East Coast, he pulls me down like, yo, baby, you're going flying. Let's ground you a little bit. So we have this group because I appreciate he's got my blind spots covered. I don't think like him. And flip it, I've got his blind spots covered. And that's exactly what you just described. It's the same thing. Marriage organizations, right? You have, we need compliance and operation so that we don't F up and get the government coming in, right? And hitting us with, you know, fees and fines and what have you. But then you have to have the innovation. Otherwise, you're never going to grow beyond where you are now. So how do the two play in the sandbox together and leverage each other's strengths? That's really what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's one piece. Of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because that's how we're approaching change. Do we want it one little bite? Do we want to stick to the process? Do we not want to change things? Or do we want to blow everything up, start all over
right.
again? You know, brand new day, gung ho, let's do it, right? That's how we embrace change, and, you know, variations in between, but, you know, we're kind of pulling it apart in those two dichotomous ways
yeah.
to see it more clearly, and then we can get into that those gray scales and nuance in between, but absolutely.
Yeah, so you have to turn the light on so both sides see the other side's perspective to pause and say, now I understand what that innovation is. I understand how I can possibly build it and support it. And I see the sales or the results or the revenue that it, or the cost savings, the flip side, right? The cost savings by putting that that innovation in. Now you have a special event. It's called Spiral Dynamics Live. Can you share like what the objectives, and it's a weekend, right? That you do this?
Yeah. This one, thank you for asking, Connie. This one's coming up at the end of the month. And it is, the takeaways are, attendees will be able to build out their playbook for change.
Nice.
So if they are trying to do a pivot, if they're trying to make a transformation work, if they're trying to get a change to work, if they're feeling a little stuck or frustrated or don't know where to turn or things haven't been quite working the way that they've wanted it to, we're going to help them to create this playbook start to finish, because most people don't create a playbook. Most people don't build out their goals. And if they don't know where they are, then how are they going to know which direction to go in? And if they haven't done an assessment of where are we now, how do you build a strategy to get somewhere that you haven't even targeted yet? And let alone with, you know, the whole piece of, you know, who am I in this particular world and who am I becoming and how am I transforming? And we'll also be looking at adult development. And what that means is, and our work is rooted in about 70 years of research and application. That's consecutive. And we're going to look at the what makes human nature tick, what makes people do what they do. If you've ever sat back and went, what the heck were they thinking? Or why did they do that? Or how did any of that make sense? Or wow, that was such a great idea. What kind of a brain came up with that?
Yeah.
We go through that. How do you lead? How do you prefer to be led? How do you learn? How do you prefer to learn? What are the conflicts and connects between people? And why does that happen? From a scientifically research base.
I love it. I love it. And it's just so exciting when I get to talk to people about the psychology behind why we do what we do. And you meet people and you think, oh, they're there to annoy me. You're not even in their radar, right? It's just how they're wired. It's not like they're doing it to piss you off, right?
So well, sometimes they are.
That is true, depending on the scenario or the dynamic of the group or the individuals. But most people don't set out to say, how can I, you know, tick Natasha off today or at this moment?
It is my goal in life.
It's my goal in life to make her irritated, right? So here's the thing. Who should, like, what is the sweet spot of the people who should come to that type of event? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I call this kind of group or thinker more transformationally oriented. More relationally oriented. Mm. So if you're curious about yourself, if you want to have a deeper relationship with yourself, with your spouse, with your employees, if you have a team that you'd like to bring together, there is space in this particular context to bring that team to articulate the vision, to articulate the execution and implementation of that vision, and to come together. But you've got to be people-centered. I spent 6 months looking at the mergers and acquisition space because I think 67 to 87% of them fail. And 40 years ago, that stat was true. And 40 years later, today, it's true.
Right.
And it said culture. And I'm like, you guys can use my assessments and let's make this work. And I realized that the flaw in that logic wasn't that they didn't know that that number was there. They didn't care. They're very transactionally oriented. It's very numbers based. And they didn't have time for the soft and fuzzy. And they were so locked in on the short term bottom line that they couldn't see the long term bottom line consequences. And it wasn't that long term.
That to me is tragic, because you're still, people are involved. People at the, you know, the end of it, who's getting fired, who's getting put into positions maybe they don't want. There's still the human factor in that. So that's tragic that they don't even care about those stats. And it's just about getting it done.
So here's the thing. So the stats say 85% of the CEOs on the other side of an M&A wish they paid more attention to the people factors. So we know the problem going in.
Yeah.
Then we reiterate the problem coming out the other side of it. And then what do? Go back to do the same thing we were doing
crazy
before.
Definition of insanity, right? The craziness. Yeah. We will send, so we, you're, we'll have a link for them to connect and sign up for the event. Is it going to be, it's going to be virtual though. It's not going to be live this time, right?
It will absolutely be live on Zoom.
Live on Zoom. Don't laugh. I think that's the new phraseology. We're going to be live on Zoom. Because it's not recorded. We really are, you know, live like this. You know, it's on the money. What,
yeah,
really quick for the listeners who can't, you know, get, let's say give up a weekend, but what can you suggest would make change easier for just some of our listeners if they're just starting to understand maybe COVID has, you know, made them more aware of their inner self-talk, you know? What are some of the things that my listeners can do immediately after the show?
So immediately, one can just kind of, instead of, every time you feel a resistance, notice where the resistance is. Is it in your heart? Is it in your throat? Is it in your, like, just feel where it is.
Mm.
And then get in touch with why it's there. Ask it. Like, what is triggering me? What is pressuring me? What is holding me back? What is that resistance about? And then instead of resisting, lean in with curiosity towards the thing that you've been resisting.
Mm.
Keep a dialogue between you and your head and your heart and your feelings without it ruling, if that makes sense.
Is so, writing it down helpful so that you almost, kind of disconnect from it?
Great idea for those who are writer-downerers.
Yeah, I'm not, by the way. That's not me, but I don't know.
Yeah, I talk. So I talk to myself a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, but I'll have a dialogue with myself and go, okay, so what is it you're feeling? And what is this, you know, feeling? Please tell me what this is about. What do you want me to know about you?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, there might be some thought in there and be like, hey, thoughts, what do you want me to know? What's important here? Right. And then I'll go, thank you. Thank you for alerting my attention to that. Thank you for making me notice that. And then I'll have this dialogue with my feelings or my thoughts without them being true, if that makes sense. Because they're reactions, and they're important, and you need to know where they're coming from. So you need to acknowledge them.
Yeah.
And I think too many times we try to shut down our emotions, shut down our thinking, try to get control. And if we're in dialogue with self, then it gives us some very interesting awarenesses that allow things to settle quickly, that allow us to get back in touch with those around us.
Yeah.
Because as long as those are coming up, we're not purely, clearly, cleanly in touch with those around us.
Yeah, I think it's Mary Morrissey. I think in one of her sessions, I've followed her for years. I just love her. I love her. I love what she stands for. I love how she teaches. I just love her. But she, I think she says, listen to your own lies. Example would be, and put it in perspective, right? I'll never lose weight. I can't lose weight. Is that truth or is that a lie? Well, of course it's a lie because, right?
Yeah, it's language that's happening in your head, and it's truth if you believe it and follow it and act as if it's true.
That's right.
And it's a lie if it's your old negative chatter.
That's right.
Telling you something that is outdated.
That's right.
Right? So we're negotiating past, we're negotiating present, we're negotiating future, and we're also negotiating behavior.
Yeah.
And is that behavior that's happening today for today? Or is that behavior that was a habit that came from yesterday that no longer applies? And we get to choose, we don't get to choose a whole lot of things in our lives, right? You know, we get to choose tons, but not everything we'd like. We don't get to control everything we'd like.
That's true.
But we can choose what comes out of our mouths, what we do with our bodies, and what we, how we negotiate our relationships with self and other.
Yeah, that's true. That's the, I have control of me, I have no control of you, right? And vice versa. So I love that idea of listen to where the head, heart, throat, stomach, wherever it is that you're feeling that, like, right, that's that tightness or whatever, and think about, wait, where's that? Look at it from a logical standpoint, so you almost take the emotion away, if I'm understanding this correctly, and
well,
then
embrace the emotion.
Emotion, right.
Notice the emotion,
right.
And understand what it's trying to say.
Right.
Because, you know, we've got, if we look at our core emotions, and everybody's got different ones, I think we've got like six, right? Five of them are negative, one is positive. Five are negative, one is positive.
It's crazy.
So we are wired to preserve and protect ourselves,
sure,
in a way that's no longer necessary as it was, say, 100,000 years ago.
Sure.
You know, we're not going to be eaten by the saber-toothed tiger, but we treat someone as if they're about to kill or eat us.
Yeah, yeah.
And when our body goes into that, it's useful not to shut it down, but to notice it and then go, oh, I'm triggered. What does this mean? I'm scared. All right. Okay, honey. What are you scared about? You know, just treat yourself like a kid. What,
yeah,
are you scared about?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm afraid this will happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know. We got this. We got this? Yeah, we're okay. Okay. Right? And that's an easier way to move through it, because we're so affect phobic in our society. We figure we have to control our fear and we have to control our sadness, and we don't let others see it because they're going to manipulate us, or, you know, whatever the internal dialogue is. And we've become disconnected. So this is a way to become deeply connected, use it well, and move past quickly.
And the thing is, you'll think more clearly. You don't have to judge and beat yourself up, right? It is what it is. Address it with honesty, and then what can you control, or what choices can you make to change whatever is going on? Because you always have a choice. You know, people say, I don't have a choice. Not making a choice is a choice, guys.
It's a choice.
It's a choice. So we always have a choice to navigate with whatever we're looking for. But I like how you're saying, you know, but if I feel fear, if I push it down or I judge myself, you're fearful again, you suck, you're stupid, that's why you don't get ahead. What is that serving? Instead of saying, well, wait a minute, why am I feeling fear right here, right now? What's causing that? Now you're looking at it with, I love the word curiosity used before, instead of judgment and condemnation. Now you're looking at it from a curiosity. You can move through it, maybe learn from it, and create whatever it is that you're looking to create in your life, right? So I think that's amazing.
Yeah. You're scanning your inner landscape.
Yeah.
You're scanning your external landscape. You're looking for a match and a fit and congruence. And if there is, you're in the right place, in the right space.
That's right.
And if there isn't, then there's room for adjustment.
Yeah, yeah. So it's simple and yet it's not. Yeah. Right? People are listening going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you go to try to execute and you're like, wait a minute, this is not so easy. So that's why you need Natasha. We're out of time, but I do want to give you Natasha's email. It's natasha@spiraldynamicsplural.org. And then the website is spiraldynamics.org. And then the link, you'll give me the link for the live event, the live Zoom event that people can check into. So if you have a team or you have, you know, a marriage or a family or whatever, you're coming from all of those directions. This doesn't just have to be business related. People who are in business can also benefit, but it could be for your own personal edification as well. So yeah, I love it. I'll post
no
that.
No masks required.
Say that again?
No masks required.
No mask. Really, really, right? We could actually see each other's faces. So I will post that link, guys, so you'll be able to find it. But if you have questions, reach out to Natasha directly at natasha@spiraldynamicsplural.org. Go to her website if you're looking for more information at spiraldynamics.org as well. And I will post the link for the event. And you guys, for me, I have so many free resources. I'm building out my website. I've created so much during 2020. It's crazy. So go to my website, whitmanassoce.com. The radio, the podcast is there. Free resources are there. My book is there. I just everything is there. So go to whitmanassoce.com and find me. Also, if you enjoyed the show, love the comments, love a review, whether you go to Apple Podcasts or if you're on YouTube, please, please leave your comments and message me, you know, download, follow, subscribe, all of those, good, depending on where you are, different rules, right? But please take the time to do that. I do really appreciate that kind of love and support. It means a lot to me personally. So, you know, I do appreciate it. Natasha, thank you so much. I feel like every time we have a show, we're like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more going on. Guys, check out Natasha's event if it could help you and your organization. It's a nice way to end 2020 and kick, you know, into hyper gear for 2021. Easy peasy way to do that. Great resource and great advice again from Natasha today. So, you know, pay attention to what you're feeling. Go in, be curious, and see how what choices you can make to navigate that change for you. So, Natasha, thank you so much for being on.
It's a treat and a pleasure,
yeah,
Connie. I
love you.
Have so much fun with you.
Me
I
too.
Talk to you all day.
I know. Me too. We have too much in common, my friend. But thank you so much again. And you guys, I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that no matter what change that you're navigating, that my guests, myself, we really do have your back. And hopefully we make it easier for you to figure out whatever that change is. So tune in every week. And I really do hope you learn and apply everything that we're teaching and sharing and exposing you to. Shift your perspective, man. That's what we're here for. You know, take the blinders off, do something differently, expand your perspective, and grow. So, Natasha, thank you so much again. And guys, thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all a wonderful week where you open to your minds to what is truly possible. Thanks, everybody.